I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Clay Mateel. Clay is the former CEO and owner of the Iams Company. And Clay, you grew the Iams Company from about $1 million of revenue to $1 billion of revenue when you ultimately sold it. But all the while, it was a family business. What advice do you have for someone who is running a family business today?
Well, I think at some point in the not too distant future, if you haven't already, you need to start thinking about dealing with the business of the family as well as running the family business.
And what do you mean by the business?
Well,
of
I
the
just
family?
Concern yourself with the communication with the family, the support of the family, the knowledge of the next generation, and are we preparing the next generation for or assuming to leadership of the family business, or are we going to sell the family? All these kind of decisions need to be made as a family. There are so many stories where the entrepreneur founder comes in one day when he's 65 years old, announces to his family he just sold the business.
Mm-hmm.
One of his children says, I was hoping I could run that thing someday.
If you could involve your children in some of the process of growing that business, I mean, what an education they're getting right there watching and maybe participating along the way.
I think that is great. In our case, our kids worked at the family business during the summers when they were in school. After they got out of school, high school, the requirement was that after they finished their degree, their baccalaureate degree, they had to have 5 years experience working for someone else before we would employ them.
And did you employ all the kids, or did some of them choose?
Actually, they all came out of school, and within 5 years, one was a professional baseball player, and some of the other ones had gravitated to actually buying and starting their own businesses. So they're entrepreneurs, and I'm real proud of them.
Well, and they learned from a master, didn't they?
But the point is that the family council that we formed in 1995 actually made the decision to sell the company. It was not Mary and I alone. It was the whole family that made that decision in 1997 that we were going to sell the company or we were going to take the company public. And in 1999, Procter & Gamble came along, and it looked like a perfect fit, which it has been,
mm-hmm.
And here we are.
How would you go about assembling your whole family to start the conversation of a family council?
In our case, we hired a consultant because I just didn't think, and I was sure that I couldn't do it myself. And that was the best decision I ever made, is to hire a family consultant. And he came in and helped us resolve some of the issues that we had in the family and gotten those issues out on the table and started dealing with those issues. And not only did it help the business, it certainly helped our relationships with our children. But we really feel strongly that those major decisions like that need to be a family decision.
And Clay, you founded an organization called the Aileron Foundation, and as a part of that, does the Aileron Foundation offer some of the services in terms of helping family businesses generate a council, serve as an advisor to them?
Absolutely. Many of the same experiences that we've had and some of the best practices we've observed over the years are incorporated in the programming at Aileron.
And if people would like more information about Aileron, the website is just www.aileron.org, or the phone number is 937-669-6500. And Clay, thank you so much for being my guest and for everything you've done for our community.
My pleasure.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Bob Ronker. Bob probably needs no introduction to most people in Cincinnati, at least those of us who are involved in any aspect of running or walking. Your name is really a household name in Cincinnati. You've been in Running Hall of Fames, but I think certainly locally, you kind of epitomize running. But you've been involved in the Thanksgiving Day race for many years, both as a runner and as a sponsor. Why are you so involved in that particular race?
Thanksgiving Day race certainly is the most traditional race that we have here in town. I first ran it in 1961. I was a freshman, ran on the cross-country and track team at the University of Cincinnati. So that was my introduction to it. And then a few years later, I guess in the early 80s, the race was much smaller than it is now. It was by and large one of the larger local races. They needed a little bit of assistance in terms of sponsorship and help. I always had strong feelings for the race, having participated in it and seeing all the other local individuals who would walk or run in it. So it was easy to gravitate to being involved in a different capacity.
I wasn't there in those early years, but I've participated in it for a number of years, and there's thousands and thousands of people that participate, of all types of runners. You don't have to be a high-level runner. You
right.
can be a runner, a recreational runner, or even a walker, and still participate and have fun.
Exactly. It has its elements for each of these individuals. If you want to race and see what kind of 10K time you can get, that's certainly available. But for a lot of people, it's a tradition. Just to be out there and bring your family or friends and do what you can.
Well, it gives you a good excuse to be able to eat more for your Thanksgiving Day feast if you've somehow traveled 6.2 miles, right?
Right, exactly.
Bob, you've been involved in running, as a runner, as a coach, and as an owner of a running store, or now several running stores, for a number of years. It seems like running has become more and more popular. Is that the case?
Oh, definitely. My wife and I moved to California. I took a job with Runner's World magazine when they had a circulation of 10,000 then. They're probably closer to a million now, in 1972. And the Thanksgiving Day race was the biggest race around here. Perhaps we had 150 people. Well, now Thanksgiving Day race is 12,000, 15,000, what have you. And there have been different, I would say, waves that caused the sport to become more popular. In the 70s, after Frank Shorter won the marathon in 1972, the Munich Olympics, I think that created some buzz. There was a popular book by Jim Fix, The Complete Book of Running, that was number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Steve Prefontaine, just a number of different things kind of coalesced, and running became popular. And then I think in the 90s, you had more people entering it. Women, certainly, that spurred a big part of the growth and the various causes.
Well, if people want more information about this year's Thanksgiving Day race, they can go to the website, which I think is thanksgivingdayrace.com.
That's correct.
For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Bob Ronker. Bob is a longtime runner, running authority, running coach, owner of a running store, The Running Spot in Cincinnati. Bob, you're also one of the longest sponsors, corporate sponsors, of the Thanksgiving Day race, which you've participated in both as a runner and a sponsor for a long period of time. What makes running so important to you, Bob?
I think there are a number of elements. The big thing is it's something I just feel good having gotten in a run or a walk in. I'm 69 now. I've been at it 54 years, so some of my priorities or intensities have changed, but the principles are still the same. It's just a good feeling of knowing that I've done something on a regular basis, and I think that's important for us just to maintain a certain quality of life.
Yeah, I can't say I always look forward to a run, but I'm always happy after I did it.
Overcome that inertia, and usually it comes out positive afterwards.
You know, Bob, a lot of us have things we like to do that we enjoy doing, and I enjoy running, but you've taken it to another level. You've actually made it your business as well. How fun is that to have a business that's really also the passion?
I'm very fortunate to be able to incorporate the two. I was a career counselor back in the 70s at Walnut Hills High School, and I used to tell the students, try to do something that you enjoy because you're going to spend a lot of time with your work. And fortunately, the popularity of the sport started coming up that there was a possibility of having a shop and doing things related to something that you enjoy. It's been fun.
What, at the time you opened your first running store, were there other stores like that in this area?
There, at that time, locally, there was the Athlete's Foot.
Okay.
There was also a local chain called Sporting Foot and Thing. Then we had other sporting goods store. Brenda Moore's had been in the area for a long time, all about sports. So there were others and different ones. Some seemed to either come and go.
but not quite as focused on running as you've always been.
No, I'd say that's correct. This was something we just really tried to focus on.
As you know, when you sponsor all these races, you oftentimes are the place where people go to pick up their race packets. You get, I would guess, thousands of people going through your store to pick up their packets, for instance, for the Thanksgiving Day race?
Yes. We're fortunate, especially in our Bryanville location. We've got a large space that can assist the races, and frankly, as you say, it brings people to the store, so it's not bad for us, too.
Bob, do you get a chance to participate in the race? I know you're so busy with the sponsorship and everything else that goes with it.
I think the last couple of years, I'm trying to think, sometimes they're starting to run together, no pun intended. Last year, I did, around this time, I did the New York City Marathon. I think I was more a photo taker with our training group last year for this race. But yes, I still, off and on, I'm still in the races.
Well, Bob, thanks for all you've done for running in Cincinnati. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Today, our guests are Joe Price and Don Johnson. Both of them are managing partners with Cutler Real Estate. Maybe you can answer just one question for me. Why would you start a real estate company in the middle of probably the worst downturn in real estate in at least modern times?
To answer that question, we are certainly in extraordinary times right now. Luckily, we have extraordinary partners. If you look at our company, we have very strong leadership in the Cincinnati market, partners that have been in the business for a number of years, and we have a strong partnership with the Cutler Associates up in partners up in Canton Akron area. If you look at the numbers in the business right now, 40 to 45% of the business is distressed properties, and 35 to 40% is rental business. And then you have the general mix of traditional listings and sale business that takes place in normal markets right now.
And you're not just talking about Cutler's business. You're talking about just the real estate business in general with those statistics.
Exactly, Tom. As Don mentioned, it's a very unique situation. It's been around really since the mortgage guidelines started to change in 2006, and then we saw the full effect in 2007. So we've been playing in this space as a real estate industry since that time. During that time, Don mentioned our partners. All of us have had a unique experience into how can you not only exist as a real estate brokerage, but how can you grow your business? We're very fortunate in Cincinnati that we could start with a white sheet. We knew what wasn't working, and we thought we had a pretty good idea on what would work. So we engaged that almost 40% of the adult population that rents. And on the backside of that, we also have a very efficient process to negotiate short sales for the folks who are having difficulty with their mortgage. So truly, from start to beginning, from the very first-time renter to somebody on with a difficult mortgage, we are truly full service.
So with the renters, you're helping them find a place to live, to rent?
Yes, with renters, you have a lot of folks right now who are not unable to sell their properties. I use a term in the Cincinnati market. We rent homes in Indian Hill to Price Hill and every hill in between. No community is not affected by the recent economy, and it is a wonderful solution if you can't, you know, you're not able to sell your property, that we would be able to lease that. You know, if you look back in the backlog, this, as Joe mentioned, started in 07. 08, 09, 10, 11, 12. So you have a compounding effect, tightening regulations on mortgages. You have all these people in the past that are having struggles financing properties and becoming buyers. So the rental is a great opportunity for sellers who cannot otherwise sell their property.
That being said, we had a meeting the other day. We have a number of potential renters that are having difficulty finding properties, and we know that they're out there. At the same time, we have investors who are encouraging us to help them find well-priced properties that they can purchase. So as mentioned off the air, we know that there's a market there. If you took the investor out of the marketplace today in real estate, it would be very, very interesting to look at the numbers that are projected and put into the media by NAR.
For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Don Johnson and Joe Price. Both gentlemen are managing partners with Cutler Real Estate. First, you can just tell me how the two of you got together as business partners.
Don and I have known each other for years. Don's experience in the Cincinnati market goes decades deep. You know, we hit it off almost immediately because we saw opportunities within the industry, within our market locally, to better serve the consumer. As I mentioned, you know, the real estate industry as a whole, I think, has been a little bit slow to gravitate to the technology that's available. At Cutler Real Estate, we've been able to leverage that. It's largely due to the fact that we do agree that technology is a way that we can provide value to the consumer to make the process more efficient. In the end, it allows us to keep costs low, which our realtors like because we can pay them a higher commission.
Well, it seems like with just the sheer volume of paperwork and transactions you would have, technology would lend itself to a lot of efficiency in your business.
We do have completely paperless transactions, and that's very interesting when you enter into the market and want to do that with somebody else. But it is that the consumer loves it. It hits them, again, right where they live. It makes our lives easier. It's just a little bit more training, but we do have a single dashboard that allows our agents to work flawlessly in that process.
Are they able to do that like wirelessly as well? I mean, do they use iPads and laptops and those types of things?
Yes. You know, the main thing is most realtors feel like that the technology is something they're afraid of, but our platform, we make it very easy for them to navigate in that. And that was a very good question. And I think, too, is getting into, you know, how we came together, we had a lot of experience in the local real estate market and strong leadership in Cincinnati. We have a short sale platform and a rental platform that we perfected, and the Cutler operation up north in Canton, Akron area that's been in business since 1947. They have a strong technical platform, as we talked about. So in weather terms, I guess we're the perfect storm coming together as one to tackle the struggles and opportunities in the real estate industry.
Well, and it sounds like it lets you cover all facets, the rental, the short sales, and then the more traditional sales.
We leave no client go. We use a term that once a client comes into our area of business, they are client for life, because we can actually touch them in any market, that from renting a property or home or apartment to them to selling their home or helping them in their buying process.
You also help the community some, too. You're involved as a sponsor in the Thanksgiving Day race this year. How'd you get connected with that?
I've known Julie Isperding for a long time, and that relationship kind of spurred a discussion around the Thanksgiving Day race, and everybody in Cincinnati has heard of it. And so it just seemed a natural for us. We're very family-oriented. We're very health conscious, and what a great event. Grown to 17,000 runners now. It's the largest family event of its kind. It's a great community outreach. We love the collection of coats that takes place, and it was a natural fit for us.
Well, Don Johnson and Joe Price with Cutler Real Estate, thanks for what you're doing in the community with the Thanksgiving Day race. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Eric Harmon. Eric is the publisher of Cincy Magazine. You actually started Cincy Magazine. You're not just the publisher, you're the founder as well, right?
I am. It's a family business, but originally I came down to Cincinnati about 10 years ago. From there, we launched what is Cincy Business, which became Cincy Magazine. So we're going on about 9 years.
Well, and your family, I think, has been in this business longer than that period of time. But even in that short period of time, the business itself has undergone quite a change, hasn't it?
It has. And it's exciting because for us as City Magazines, we've been able to find a nice niche. Our readership is growing, and probably where people lumped us together as the print industry. We have, with City Magazines, been able to step aside from what are some really real challenges happening with the newspaper industry. But for us, when we say exciting, our readership is up. But one other thing is we've been able to get a lot of the talent that may have been with, say, with the Cincinnati Inquirer over the years, and they're able to find their place with us.
You've just recently launched a new magazine.
It's Northern Kentucky Magazine. We launched it in partnership with the Northern Kentucky Chamber. And for us, What we've been able to do with NKY is a little unique and different than with Cincy, because I always say that with Cincy, we've filled a very good niche for the business professional. For NKY, I think we've filled a need.
You mentioned you're doing this in collaboration with the Northern Kentucky Chamber.
Steve Stevens and that whole team that they have there, it's just great to work with. And for us, launching the first city magazine for Northern Kentucky, it's been a joy.
Well, how do you distinguish yourself from other magazines that are already in cities as well?
For us, as Tom had mentioned, that as a city magazine company, we're locally owned now here. So I've taken over ownership of the company. But as a family business, we're over 40 years old, and our first city magazine was in Cleveland. In terms of competition with other magazines in the market, what you have to ask yourself is, what are you feeling towards the reader? Does the reader want this? And if you're not, sometimes the advertisers will be there, but for the long term, you need to fill that need.
Well, then how do you find your content? How do you know what readers are going to want to read? How do you find fresh stories all the time?
I think it's two part. One is that you've got to have some good writers. The second part to that is those writers and myself and our leadership are out talking to individual businesses and residents to find out what things might be of interest to the reader. And one unique thing with city magazines is that you have to step out at least a couple of months. So what I like to say is we're less the what, but more the why. Writers like Peter Bronson, our editor, Diane Gephardt French. We just hired Mike Boyer, who is now going to be our business editor. Writers like Bill Thompson. And for people like that, we've been able to set them out and see what interests them. It's interesting to look at our statement that we put out every year in terms of where our readers are coming from. And you can go to our website, cincymagazine.com, to get a complimentary subscription. But you would see probably as many as 25% of our readers outside of the tri-state area, especially, as you mentioned, as they transition maybe to other more warmer parts of the country.
Folks would like to learn more about Cincy Magazine. What is your website?
It's www.cincymagazine, Cincy with a Y, cincymagazine.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Kevin Finn. Kevin is the Executive Director of Strategies to End Homelessness. And Kevin, I know your organization has been around since 2007, and you are working to create a community-wide approach to end homelessness in our region. And recently, you've got some new funding for a very specific targeted group, veterans. Maybe you can talk about that.
Yes. Back a few months ago, we lost stimulus funding to do homelessness prevention. Well, luckily, we were able to get a grant from the veterans. We partnered with Goodwill Industries and received a grant to serve homeless veterans and their families. So it could be the veteran themselves or the entire family they're residing with. And we can do homelessness prevention with them. We also could return them to housing with those dollars. The definition of homeless I'm using when I say that is someone being on the street or in a shelter. When I say prevention, we are either helping them keep the housing they currently have, which is in jeopardy, or they may have actually already lost their own housing and they may be staying with a family member or somebody like that, but they are not yet on the street or in a shelter. In that kind of case, we would return them to their own housing and help them be stable there. People pay attention to what many homeless people are, but they don't pay attention to what they aren't. Many homeless people do have substance abuse issues locally, but far less than half, which means far more than half, do not have a substance abuse problem. There are homeless people who have mental health conditions, but again, far less than half, which means more than half of the population became homeless despite the fact that they do not have a mental health condition. When you look at families, one of the biggest risk factors for homelessness is a single-parent household. So having a single income supporting the family, all of a sudden something happens to that income and they become homeless much more quickly than with a two-parent family. Those are the kind of characteristics of homelessness that people are less likely to talk about.
And have you seen an increase in that over the last few years with the recession?
Homeless is a lagging indicator, meaning that it typically takes a while for things like the economic downturn to really show up in the numbers. So homelessness actually declined locally in both 2009 and 2010. But then in 2011, we saw an increase of about 8%. Even though the economic downturn really began much earlier than that, we didn't really see some of the results of it until 2011. And therefore, it might also take a while for those numbers to turn around now that the economy is at least starting to show some signs of improving.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you've just recently gotten some federal money for veterans. Are you anticipating an increase in homelessness in veterans?
I think that given all the issues that veterans face when they serve, they are at risk for homelessness when they come back. In recent years, there has been some decline in the number of homeless veterans, but there haven't been as many people in active service either. Last year, our homeless population was about 13% veterans. I think there is every reason to believe that that would go up if we don't have resources available to address it.
So if folks want to learn more about strategies to end homelessness, how they can get involved, what's your website?
Our website is strategiestoendhomelessness.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. Today, my guest is Marjorie Solomon, and Margie is the program director for the Ohio River Valley Women's Business Council. And you know, Margie, one of my favorite topics is talking about how to make businesses more successful, and especially women-owned businesses, because they're still not breaking that glass ceiling as fast as I would like to see them break it. So let's talk about what you do in your organization to help women move faster, closer to get to the top of their career ladders.
Well, currently, and this has been going on for about 15 years now, there is a sort of swell. It's growing. Corporations have been setting aside a percentage of their gross spend to aggressively find minority and women-owned businesses with which to do business. It is a way for them to see and find minority and women-owned businesses.
So certainly, if you're a woman-owned business and you can qualify for the certification,
yes,
it's just going to give you a competitive advantage.
Absolutely. And what I tell our WBEs, Women Business Enterprises, before they go through the process or while they're going through the process, this is a marketing tool. It's something my mom used to say, you can't get hit in the head if you don't stand up. Well, if you don't get certified and you don't have that certification on there, you're not going to get seen or you're not going to get hit in the head. So you really need that. And to take that opportunity to be recognized and to be seen and to be able to meet the supplier diversity procurement folks from corporations is a wonderful thing.
So is it a complicated process to get certified, I mean?
It can appear to be complicated. It's basically, I sort of call it business in a box. We require pretty substantial documentation because it's pretty easy for a male to hide behind a
woman. Okay, so that's where I was going. So in other words, what you're saying is this documentation is just to make sure that the people who are, in fact, qualified as a WBE,
yes,
they are really women-owned businesses. Not,
yes,
the women's just not the front and men in the back running the place.
Correct. They must have 51% or more of their business. They must also have control of their business, be independent in their business, and have primary fiduciary responsibility.
So if someone listening today would like to learn more, can they just contact your organization?
They can, and they can go on our website. It is ORV, like Victor, WBC.org, or they can go to WeBank, WBENC.org, and it gives you information about certification on both sides.
Are you seeing a swell in small businesses that are women-owned, especially since the economy had taken a downturn for the last few years? Are you seeing more women-owned businesses?
American Express Open just did a survey, a research paper. It was the 2012 Women Business Owners. There are over 8 million women-owned businesses in the United States. The state of Ohio, actually, and we cover a three-state area, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia. The state of Ohio is ranked 9th in the United States in the number of women-owned businesses. And women are outpacing men 2-1.
Thank you so much for being my guest, Margie. And again, if folks would like information about how to gain a competitive advantage, they can go to your website or they can just Google your organization, Ohio River Valley Women's Business Council. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Today, our guest is Mark Jeffries. Mark is the Associate Marketing Director for Dollar and Emerging Channel for Procter & Gamble.
But Mark, you're here today to talk to us about your role at Go Vibrant and also as a sponsor, Go Vibrant, or a beneficiary, I guess, of the Thanksgiving Day race. Tell me a little bit about Go Vibrant.
Go Vibrant's a nonprofit. It's been around 2 years. It's all around making healthy living easier and the city healthier. It's about how do we encourage people to walk more? How do we make it irresistible to be healthy and fit?
Well, and that makes it, I guess, a natural connection to the Thanksgiving Day race.
Yeah, I know it is. I mean, this is a great race. It's been around 103 years. And the theme this year, it's all around sing and dance and walk and run. And so one of the things that Go Vibrant is about, we're about making a healthy, active lifestyle irresistible. And that word of irresistible is key. So this is a race that's irresistible. It's on Thanksgiving. It is a tradition, and it's just loads of fun. Yeah, it's a 10K. You can walk it. You can run it. It's not about, you know, the fastest person to the edge, but there's music along the way and just loads of fun. And that's part of what has made it sustainable through the years. I mean, 103 years, it's the third oldest race in the country, and it's survived because, you know, people enjoy it. It's become part of their tradition. They start at the race, and then they go to have Thanksgiving dinner with their family. It's about giving, too. So, you know, it's the largest co-drive for goodwill. So we encourage people as they come out for the race, you know, bring your, you know, your stuff down as well, you know, because that's what Thanksgiving is about as well.
But there's lots of charities that benefit from the race, aren't there?
There are, and that's the third plank of the, you know, Thanksgiving Day race. So it's about giving to, you know, Goodwill, but other charities. So Go Vibrant is one of those that, you know, is linked in because of our mission of being, making activity irresistible. You know, it makes perfect sense that we be a part of this as well.
Now, is Go Vibrant, is your goal just to make people more healthy? Is it to make the city more livable? Is it a little bit of both?
It's a great benefit. I would say one follows the other. So the ancillary benefit of a city that is more vibrant and healthy is that the more it is vibrant and healthy, the more it becomes attractive for talent who are coming to, you know, the city for to work for companies like P&G or Macy's or Kroger or Fifth Third or others. You know, so that's certainly part of it. You know, but our focus is really around how do we make it so irresistible? It starts with a very simple human insight, which is that activity, when it feels like play, is irresistible. If you think about when you were a kid, you know, you ran and you skipped and you jumped and you played tag, not because you had to, it wasn't a to-do, because it was fun, it was play. And somewhere along the line, we lose that as adults and becomes you have to go run a marathon or you have to go run a race. And we're about how do you make it, you know, how do you instill the fun back in it?
Well, if people want to know more about the race, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, you can go to the www.thanksgivingdayrace.com. And you've got everything there, everything you need to know.
For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Today, our guest is Mark Jeffries. Mark is an associate marketing director for Dollar and Emerging Channel for Procter & Gamble. And Mark's here today to talk to us in his capacity with Go Vibrant, which is a local charity and is also a beneficiary of the Thanksgiving Day race. And Mark, there's a real connection between what Go Vibrant believes in and the Thanksgiving Day race, isn't there?
There sure is. So we're all about making an active, energetic lifestyle irresistible. And that's the word irresistible. If something's irresistible, you don't feel like you have to do it, but you want to do it. And the Thanksgiving Day race is really about that. It's something that, and it's endured. 103 years is a long time. And it's endured because it's been fun and it's part of tradition. And if you make activity and fitness fun, then people will find it irresistible and they'll want to do it. And, oh, by the way, get healthier without even realizing it.
Well, and it's amazing for the Thanksgiving Day race because there's thousands of people that go there no matter what the weather. I mean, many times it's very nice. Every once in a while it's rainy or cold, but you still get thousands of people. And maybe the real benefit is not so much that day, but what they may do to build up to that day if they're running or even walking, if they aren't used to walking that distance.
We hope it's a catalyst for people to start quote-unquote training, I mean, which means could mean anything for anyone, you know, and then hopefully that'll carry in through the new year and, you know, be a more sustainable habit for people. But if it's a to-do, like they have to, then they probably won't want to do it. But if it's fun, and the Thanksgiving Day race has loads of elements that make it a ball. If it is, then people will be more inclined to do it and stick with it.
I've participated in a number of races, and I can't think of any that's more fun, and actually even more fun after the race. There's so many things to do after the race.
Yeah, you know, obviously the fun food that you get after the race to refuel yourself and everything, but there's music along the way. And of course, the charity element with the, you know, the coat drive and everything, you know, is part of Thanksgiving, giving back.
Well, tell us about some of the other things that Go Vibrant promotes.
One of the key planks of Go Vibrant is to promote walking. And so if you notice in the downtown Cincinnati area, there are walking signs, 1, 2, and 3 mile routes. Well, we're expanding those. So in the end of, in a few weeks, we're going to be expanding those into Mount Adams. They're going up in Mount Adams right now as we speak. And then in the next 6 months, there'll be 30 miles of routes in and around the greater Cincinnati area. So in Covington, Avondale, Northside, and we're going to launch something that we call almost franchising it. So any neighborhood who says, wow, I want one of those in my area, they can have their own and we'll kind of do all the legwork. And we hope that you know, walking is a perfect exercise for new people to fitness, you know, because it doesn't require equipment, doesn't require you to train. You just get out and walk with neighbors and friends and discover. You know, there are ancillary benefits, you know, in addition to your health and well-being, to local businesses as people discover shops that are in the area, or, you know, just reconnect with neighbors. You know, for us, it's about health and well-being, but there are other benefits.
Well, it seems that there's a whole movement to having more walkable communities, more walkable cities, and it sounds like you're helping move that forward in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and that's our hope. We're going to launch the Mount Adams one, and then, you know, we've engaged a lot of the young professional groups, you know, as a way to activate these events, and, you know, and really, and as well as the neighborhood associations and business associations. So the more people we get involved, I think the better it is.
People are interested in either participating with Go Vibrant or learning more about what Go Vibrant does. Is there a website or a place they can go for more information?
Sure, you can go to govibrant.org is the website, or you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/govibrant.
And if they're interested in the Thanksgiving Day race, it's just thanksgivingdayrace.org?
.com.
.com.
In that case, correct.
For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.